Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend Program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, Pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. This week is Bridge Fest. The Bridge Christian Radio Station in New Jersey is sponsoring a two-day event in Ocean Grove, New Jersey, with speakers and a concert. Various broadcasters and organizations have tables and booths. I will be there and will be speaking at one of the sessions. So today's program is some thoughts that I plan to share. The theme this year for Bridge Fest comes from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, be strong and courageous. And in the words of the station manager, in an intimidation culture saturated with lies, there has never been a more necessary time to stand up courageously for the truth of the gospel message. And I can't think of a better truth to emphasize at this time. The church, the people of God, need to be encouraged to stand for the faith. As we read in 2 Timothy, Paul's counsel to Timothy, that during a time of Christian persecution, it's not a time for Christians to be silent, but to double down on preaching the truth. Paul is in a Roman jail waiting to be tried for the Christian faith. Many are not enduring sound doctrine and wanting to hear what they want to hear, to have their ears tickled, to turn away from the truth, and to be turned to fantasy. But still, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. When a nation is in a moral and spiritual retrograde, it's time to be bold and ramp up biblical truth. In your own personal life, when Christianity is out of season, when Christian moral standards are disdained, the natural tendency is to keep quiet at work, keep quiet at family gatherings, to keep quiet politically. But no, in times such as these, the prophet is needed more than ever. And of course, the pushback must be done in love, in patience, and in all instruction, as Paul mentioned. You've heard of the term normalization, where social morals that once were considered unacceptable through constant exposure become normalized. This is the strategy behind June being Pride Month, or October being LGBTQ History Month, and November being Transgender Month. April 6 is International Asexual Day. The third week in September is Bisexual Awareness Week. July 16th is Drag Day. May 17th is the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. The second Wednesday in April is International Pink Day. October 26 is International Intersex Awareness Day. November 8th is Intersex Remembrance Day. October 8th is Lesbian Day. May 22nd is Harvey Milk Day. May 24th is Pansexual Visibility Day. June 28th is the Stonewall Riot Anniversary. July 6th is Omnisexual Visibility Day. April 26th is Lesbian Visibility Day. October 11th is National Coming Out Day. The second week in July is Non-Binary Awareness Week. July 14th is Non-Binary People's Day. The third Wednesday in October is Pronoun Day. March 31st is Trans Visibility Day. The first Sunday in November is Trans Parents Day. March the 1st is Zero Discrimination and Zero Judgmentalism Day. Now, I kid you not, this is not a piece from the Babylon Bee. Now, secular humanists could make a similar list concerning all of the church holy days accumulated over the past 2,000 years. And the claim would be, look at how Christianity has dominated the culture since it became legal in Rome in 325. So it's time for the other side to have their holidays. However, we're not relativists. There's no moral equivalency. It's right to celebrate righteousness, and it's wrong to celebrate immorality. But the point is the current normalization of sexual deviance. So that if you're not celebrating LGBTQ in June, it's like you're from another planet. On college campuses and businesses, people can't imagine that people like you and I even exist. We're the Neanderthals. We're the problem with this world. We're the judgmental ones. We're the oppressors. In fact, we are from another planet. John chapter 17, Jesus said, "They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And I will wear that label proudly." Now, the average American no longer attends church, so their moral education is coming from the public schools, movies, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and morals are now based on what affirms human desire. And we come along and make truth claims that totally contradict the ever-growing satanic worldview. When we speak up in the grand scheme of things, it prevents and thwarts the normalization of deviance. It causes people to question and rethink queer studies. If it weren't for all of the Christian programming on social media, the left would have banned all of what they call anti-gay speech, which is basically just teaching biblical morality. But they know how large a force we are for now. Their LGBTQ ideology is not completely normalized. In fact, I can hardly believe that in the current environment, I'm still able to post this message on YouTube. But it won't be for long. The threat that truth poses is why the left has become so bold in working to silence the right, calling our speech hate speech, wanting it to be prosecuted and banned, because those who speak up against evil are the greatest threat to evil. If one little boy speaks up and shouts that the king has no clothes, the whole charade crumbles. And Christians must realize that every time we fail to speak up, fail to be bold and courageous, we contribute to the normalization of evil. We contribute to the Romans chapter 1 sin of suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. And we make it more difficult for the few Christians who do speak up. And that's implied in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's on trial for his faith, and he writes, "At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them." Because it was a sin that could be counted against them. But as Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The importance of our stand and encouraging others is also implied in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul writes that because of his stand against the Roman authorities, others were willing to speak up also. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, "And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." It always takes a trailblazer to open the door for others who have a little less confidence. Riley Gaines has been in the news recently, although big media outlets are trying to cover up the story. She was the champion swimmer for the University of Kentucky, and in a 2020 championship race, she tied with Leah Thomas, a transgender. Since the officials only had one trophy, they gave it to Leah Thomas because that was the politically correct thing to do. Riley has become the spokesperson against trans athletics, men and women sports. In March of this year, Riley Gaines and a dozen other female athletes in swimming and volleyball sued the NCAA for violating their Title IX rights by allowing a transgender, Leah Thomas, to compete at the national championship and use the girls' locker room. Riley has a new book out called Swimming Against the Current, Fighting for Common Sense in a World That Has Lost Its Mind. In a recent interview, Riley Gaines was asked, why didn't more of the girls speak out against Leah Thomas entering the competition? You could guess her answer. First, the girls thought this will never impact them. So why fight this? but it eventually did have an impact. And Riley Gaines admits, it took me being adversely affected before I found it worthwhile and necessary and urgent to speak up. But second, the main reason why more girls didn't speak up was because they were terrified. They had future plans and careers, and standing up could jeopardize their future. So they went along to get along. Gaines said that they were called murderers. We were told that we would have blood on our hands if we advocated for fair play and privacy in the locker room. Thomas could inflict harm on himself. And you don't want to be responsible for that, do you? So I suggest you be kind and inclusive. We were told that we would never get a job. Our employers will know that we are transphobic. We're never going to be able to get into grad school. We're going to lose our friends. We're going to lose our scholarships. And Gaines said they told her specifically, Riley, remember that scholarship you signed? You gave away your right to speak on your own personal capacity. Whose name is on that uniform? We are taking your stance for you. And Riley was required to go to sensitivity training to learn that just by being a cisgender, she was oppressing Leah Thomas. She was taught at age 21 the proper pronouns to use. And she had to complete the training to their satisfaction. So Riley said, by these tactics, they got us to submit and muzzle ourselves. Her testimony certainly reminds us of Daniel chapter 3. Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. And I'm sure there are many other pressures put upon those men that, for brevity's sake, are not mentioned in the text. But when these persecutions happen, they're always more complicated and deceptive than we expect them to be. Now, another point about Riley's testimony was that she was surprised, and so are we, concerning how the majority of these academic and sports leaders are fully invested in the gender rebellion movement. I think most likely because personally they live immoral lives. Riley Gaines was surprised how those who came up with these policies totally dismissed the girls' right to privacy. And Riley Gaines testified before Congress, and the Democrat congresswoman from PA in her opening statement said, I can't believe I am forced to sit here and listen to this transphobic bigotry. Whole political parties have bought into the transgender ideology. They totally believe in and support, and they're evangelists for the religion of transgenderism. And Christian morality is considered evil. Last month, in so-called conservative West Virginia, five middle school track students were banned from participating in sports because they refused to compete against a transgender. But my question is, where were the other parents and students? The entire community should have protested the event. But most people will not take a stand. Out of fear? Out of a lack of biblical conviction? You know, as in the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were the only three standing when everyone else in the entire kingdom of Babylon were taking a knee. Now we're seeing what that looks like in real time. Even dignified judges on the federal appeals court struck down West Virginia's transgender sports ban. But notice, who are the only ones standing? Riley Gaines is a serious born-again Christian. Realize that in the end, it'll only be the Christians who are on God's moral side who will be standing against the Antichrist system. Only the Christians put affirmation of God over the affirmation of men. Also, a major point we need to understand in regard to courage and boldness is that notice it's rarely about the core doctrines of salvation. The world is not asking us to directly deny the deity of Christ, the inspiration of the Bible, or salvation by faith alone. You will not be burned at the stake for believing in Jesus. Instead, it's the application of biblical morality, the LGBTQ issue, the abortion issue, statism, baking a cake for homosexual weddings. That's what brings the persecution. You can believe in Jesus all you want, as long as it's not the homophobic Jesus, or the pro-life Jesus, or the transphobic Jesus. And because persecution comes by these things, a Christian might think, well, I don't have to take a stand on these matters. I'll wait till I have to deny Jesus. I'll wait to stand for God's truth when it comes to a fundamental doctrine of the faith. When I have to deny the deity of Christ or the second coming, or when I have to take the mark of the beast, or bow down to some golden idol. But the devil is too smart for that. And the unsaved are too devious and clever to attack the key doctrines of Scripture. They deceive by getting people to agree with the devil in smaller secondary issues, such as even in the book of Daniel. Daniel had to stand for Old Testament dietary laws and risk his career over that. And also stand against a regulation against public prayer to any other god. Now, the argument we hear in leftist evangelical circles is that we shouldn't address the sins of the culture. Let's stay away from the gay marriage issue, the abortion issue, or the euthanasia issue, because those issues are just too packed with emotional baggage and will distract from the message that Christ died for our sins. Well, the best answer to that argument comes from the 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said the following, and I paraphrase, "If I'm completely faithful to every doctrine of Scripture, but I compromise or choose to be silent at the very point the devil is attacking the truth of God, I'm unfaithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ." Unquote. You see, the battle is over the authority of Christ versus the authority of man. And that can be reflected in many issues. If the battle right now is over God's authority concerning gender, we're not servants of Christ if we avoid that conflict. You know, if we take a stand on the Trinity or a good stewardship of the planet Earth at this time, we shouldn't congratulate ourselves for how well we're preaching the truth if that's not where the battle's being fought. Courage has to be the right thing at the point at which the enemy is attacking. You're not being courageous if you're in World War II defending a post in southern Italy when the Allies are fighting the Battle of the Bulge in Germany. And courage without godly wisdom and discernment may be nothing more than cowardice and rebellion. In AD 73, during the Jewish revolt against Rome, Jewish zealots captured Herod's fortress, Masada, and they held out against the Romans for 3 years. Today, it's a symbol of Jewish heroism, courage, and strength. But is it really? Is it courage and strength if we're zealots fighting for the wrong cause, taking the wrong stand against the wrong enemy? In Joshua chapter 1, God tells Joshua to be courageous, but courage would be useless if Joshua wasn't in the right fight. There's a lot of courage today, and it's courage for the devil. Courage alone is not a virtue. The LGBT movement believes that they're being courageous by coming out of the closet and standing against the oppression of social constructs. They see themselves as heroes. But defending sexual deviance is not heroic. Love, like courage, is not a virtue in itself. It must be also directed by God's truth. Otherwise, love may be nothing more than sympathy for the devil. You know, it can be love for the world, which is condemned in Scripture. So we must be bold and courageous, but it must be done in the right way. Now, for the last 2 weeks, I've been reviewing John Daniel Davison's book, Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity, and The Dark Age to Come. And I find it significant that he ends the book with what he calls the Boniface option. Boniface was a 7th century British monk. Davison is responding to a recent popular book in conservative circles by Ron Dreher called The Benedict Option, where Dreher suggests that the way we respond to the culture's moral decline is by following the pattern of the early church monk Benedict. The idea is that we need to create our own communities that stand apart from the decline in the broader culture, where we hunker down, weather the storm, and build a foundation for a future Christian revival once paganism has run its course. Davison responds by writing that the Benedict option is not the answer. We need to follow another historic Christian character, Boniface. When he discovered that the Germanic tribes were abandoning Christianity, he went there to reteach and evangelize the people. Legend has it that Boniface cut down the sacred oak that the German pagans worshipped, their environmental worship, and with the timbers he built a chapel. Boniface became known as the apostle to the Germans. Davison writes, if we want to fight the post-Christian pagan regime, we need to emulate the courage of St. Boniface and take back our towns, our shires with bold, brave acts that assert the Christian truth. If Christians are to be a persecuted minority in America, then let them be a loud and unflinching minority, boldly proclaiming their faith in public, taking what ground they can, and ready to suffer the consequences. For too long, Christians in America have kept their faith largely private, a matter of attending church on Sunday and taking on a few minor obligations to pray at home or volunteer for charities. For many Christians, the threat of persecution will mean the end to an already tenuous faith. For many others, it will justify making their faith even more private. The temptation will be to retreat, to adopt quietism. And this is a response proposed by Ron Dreher in his book, The Benedict Option. But Davison goes on to explain that Christians are called to do more than just carve out their own little shires. We are also called to defend the faith before the world. As the Apostle Paul writes, fight the good fight. Then Davison points out one of the major themes in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. The hobbits live in the peace and the safety of the Shire, but they were dependent for a long time on forces outside the Shire to keep it safe. Valiant rangers and the sacrifice of distant armies that kept the evil forces of Sauron at bay. But the time came for the hobbits themselves. If they hoped to preserve their beloved home, they would have to become grim and valiant. They would have to leave the Shire and join the fight. Gandalf tells the hobbits that he's not coming back with them to the Shire. Quote, you must settle its affairs yourself. That is what you've been trained for. You're grown up now. Grown indeed very high among the great you are, and have no longer any fear at all for any of you. Tolkien was a Christian. Like Pilgrim's Progress and the Chronicles of Narnia, his fictional story was meant to be a metaphor for the Christian life. And in his story, the hobbits, the Christians, needed to be courageous and step out of the safety of the Shire. A great story, a great metaphor. Well, regardless of the Benedict or the Boniface option or the hobbits, the main point comes from authoritative scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can get all the links to the YouTube and Rumble channel. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the truth, and may Jesus Christ reign.